It's been an amazing week. It's been a life-changing week, and there's just been a buzz and an energy and an excitement, and we've seen ministry happen that we can't really explain. We've seen so many different things and had such a good time. But unfortunately, it's come to an end. Are we sad about that? I'm sad about that. And now we've kind of got to go home. We've got to unpack. We've got to go to bed without other people in the room keeping us awake with their snoring. We've got to wake up and, you know, there's no like breakfast radio, unless your parents do that, in which case I want to live with you. It's kind of all coming down to an end. There's been this crazy commotion, this crazy big week. But now it's all coming to an end. And we're going to look at one last encounter that Jesus has today. And that encounter is in a very, very similar situation. Jesus encounters two people who have just seen some amazing big things happen. Yet it's all kind of come to an end. It's all kind of come to a close. And what we're looking at as Jesus encounters these two people is Jesus and how he encounters doubt. We're going to have a look at Jesus encountering doubt. And I wonder if you would pray with me as we do that. Lord, we thank you so much for the week that's been. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the work that you've done. Lord, we thank you that you have called people home, that you've brought people into your kingdom. Lord, we praise you for that, and we praise you that they are now yours forever. Lord, we ask that as we look at doubt, that you would help heal our hearts and heal our minds and focus them on you. Lord, as camp comes to an end, we pray that the excitement and the joy, that it would not die at the end of camp, but it would be spurred on as we continue to encounter you each and every single day. And we pray this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Have you guys ever seen the show Undercover Boss? Right? I don't know why any boss would go on that show. If you don't know, basically the boss of a big company decides, I know, I'll put a disguise on and I'll go hang out with kind of the lower level people. And basically they just hear themselves getting ripped on the whole time, right? They're just exposed to what actually happens with the workers underneath them. But they have no idea, right? These people are working away with the boss, probably their boss's 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 boss, and they've got no idea, so they're open and they're candid, and they just talk about anything. That's pretty much what's going on here with Jesus, except for he's our undercover savior in this verse, right? Jesus puts a disguise on, Jesus puts a mask on, and he encounters two people that just talk about him openly because they don't think that it's him. And we're going to look at Luke 24 as we see this, but before we do that, we want to get a bit of background. So over the last week, we've had a look at Luke chapter 22, where we saw Jesus betrayed by one of the people that he loved. Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, caring for them, investing in them, teaching them, growing them, loving them, and one of them gave him over for just some money. We saw Jesus arrested in Luke chapter 22. And we saw him trialed in Luke chapter 23. And even though they could not find a single sin in Jesus' life, even though he was perfect, he was pure, he had done no wrong, the crowd cried, "Crucify him." Barabbas was set free and Jesus was put in chains and then he was nailed to a cross where we know he died for our sin. And as we said last night, and what we said cannot be said enough, Jesus overcame death. He rose from the dead, yes, and he united us with our Father in heaven. What we're looking at here in Luke chapter 24 is the very next things that happen. See, we start with two women going to the grave of Jesus. They're ready just to treat the grave, make it smell nice, make sure it's not too bad. And they get to the grave and the stone is rolled away because death could not contain our God. The stone is gone and they are petrified and they're worried, where is Jesus? Where's he gone? And they're thinking that someone might have stolen his body, someone might have taken him somewhere, and these two women then encounter two angels. And the two angels just simply remind these women of what they know should be true. He's not here. He has risen, just like he promised. Jesus said again and again and again, I'll be crucified, but on the third day I'll rise again. Remember, he told you like 5 times. The angels say to these women, he is not here, he is risen, he is alive. These women's hearts would have just been set alight. Can you imagine these women who gave everything to follow Jesus, finding out he's no longer dead? The stone's rolled away, he's alive. Everything's going to be as it should be. The Savior has saved us and he's overcome our sin and he's overcome our death. The joy that they would have felt, and they ran to the other disciples. They ran and they busted through the door ready to express the excitement and express the joy. Jesus is risen, and they would have been expecting celebration. Yet they were met with nothing but doubt. Can you imagine the disappointment from these women? They're like, no, Jesus is risen. But the disciples thought, oh, I'm not really sure. Like, I don't know if we can trust you. I don't know if we can believe you. And we only really get to look at the reaction of three people. So there's disciples and the apostles are in the room. And we see the reaction of three people. The first one is Peter. And Peter does what I think a lot of us would have done. And he ran straight to the grave himself to see if he could see Jesus. But then we follow two of the apostles, and they just live life normally. For some reason, they were going to go to a place called Emmaus. And if you want to follow on, it's in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, that we're picking up on this. These two just, even though the women said, Jesus is alive, Jesus is risen, they just go about their day. And so they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is a 7-mile walk, or an 11.26-kilometer walk for those playing in Australia. And it's on this road to Emmaus, it's on this journey and it's on this walk that they encounter Jesus, the risen, resurrected Jesus. And these two men, they were just talking to each other about what happened, as you would do. There has been an amazing week for them, not good, but still crazy, intense, large week where they've seen their God arrested, they've seen their God trialed, they've seen their God crucified, and they do not yet know about his resurrection. They do not yet believe in his resurrection. These guys are talking about Jesus, the trial of Jesus, his encounter with Barabbas, the miracles that he did in the lead up to his arrest, the signs and the wonders and the teaching of Jesus. And they seem to be trying to bounce off each other. How can all this promise that Jesus showed, he taught this and he taught that and he did calm this storm and he healed this person, he raised this person from the dead, he did all of these things, yet he let himself be arrested, he let himself be crucified. They're just talking about Jesus. When what looks like to them, just some random bloke starts talking to them. But this is our undercover Savior. Right? And that's a miracle in itself that Jesus decides, I'm going to disguise myself, and these people who I spent years with, they'll have no idea who I am. So Jesus doesn't reveal his identity to these people, but he walks with them. And he asks a question that he knows the answer to. What are you talking about in verse 17? It tells us that they had heavy hearts, heads pointed to the ground. And they say, are you the only one that doesn't know? Like, all of Jerusalem heard about Jesus being taken to the cross. Are you the only one that doesn't know? Jesus says, know about what? Am I the only one that doesn't know about what? And astonished that this random man didn't know about all the commotion of God being placed on a cross that he created. He said, didn't you know about this man? He was a prophet. You know, he fulfilled a whole bunch of prophecies, and he was an amazing teacher, and when he taught, crowds and thousands gathered to hear him. And he was a miracle worker. He raised the dead, he opened the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf. And in verse 21, you see where their hearts are really at. We thought he was the Savior. With everything he did, with everything he said, with every miracle he had done, that we thought he was the Savior. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was going to save us, but he's dead and in a grave. They're talking to Jesus, thinking that Jesus is dead. They do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And they're confused how all of the ministry that Jesus did could end in death. It's 3 days later, they say. It's 3 days later. He said he'd be back by now. Their hopes of what they thought was their salvation have been dashed. Their hopes of what they thought would bring them eternal life are gone. Jesus is encountering doubt. And how easy is it for us to find ourselves in the same place? Camp has been amazing. And we have bounced off the energy of each other and we've praised God together. And there's something special that happens when people gather and clear out all distractions and just praise God together. Something amazing happens. But what about after camp? What about when there's no community around us? What about when we don't have the energy every day? What about when there's not a sermon every day? There's not a small group every day? There's not a reap time set aside every single day? What about when we don't have the amazing music to sing along to? Life can start to get pretty hard. And all of a sudden you start thinking, well, you know, I'm not really feeling it anymore. You know, is this real? I don't really have that same energy and that same excitement in my heart and in my body. Is this real? And where there was joy and a love for God, doubt slowly creeps into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls. All of a sudden, we start to have an encounter with doubt of our very own. So we need to ask the question here. We need to ask the question now, what does Jesus do when he encounters doubt? What does Jesus do when he encounters the doubt of these people? And I think the best way to understand what Jesus teaches here and what Jesus does here is by jumping back into Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 for a second, which says, love God with all of your mind, all of your heart, and all of your soul. The greatest commandment. Your mind, your heart, and your soul. Love God with all of them. See, as Jesus encounters doubt, he wants to speak to our minds. And he wants to talk to our minds and how in our heads can we help battle doubt? Then he wants to speak to our hearts and say, what's happening in your heart and what can you do with your heart to help you fight this doubt? And in your soul, when it's darkened by doubt, what do we do? As Jesus encounters these two men, he encounters doubt and he tells us with our mind, our heart, and our soul to love him. From verse 25, Jesus, still pretending that he's someone else, starts speaking to these men, and he gets pretty harsh pretty quickly. These men are doubting him. These men are pushing down his ministry, saying that he isn't resurrected. And this is what he says, how foolish you are and slow to believe. All the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? He's pointing them to a little bit of logic. He's pointing them to the fact that they knew Jesus' ministry and there are literally thousands of things in the Old Testament that say this is what the Savior will be like. And Jesus fulfills every single one of them. On the day of his birth, there is about 15 different prophecies fulfilled. In the first week as he travels around avoiding persecution, there is about another 20. Jesus fulfills prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. And they say, use your mind and actually think. Look at his life and look what was promised. Think about loving Jesus with your mind. Did he fulfill all of those prophecies? And then think about what he said. It just makes logical sense to use your mind to go, actually, Jesus says, I'll be killed and after 3 days I'll rise again. He said it again and again and again to his followers. Use your logic, use your mind. Think about what Jesus promised and what Jesus did. This was plan one all along. This was always how God wanted to reveal himself. Their position is understandable. Yes, life hurts. Yes, we're feeling down. Yes, things aren't easy sometimes. Being a Christian and following God can be hard. But let's use our minds to love God and think, well, what did he say about this? Jesus promised that there would be tough times. Jesus promised that we'd need to be refined by fire. Jesus promised that there would be struggles. In this world, you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Let our minds fix on what Jesus said and what Jesus promised and what Jesus did. So when doubt takes our heart and our soul, we can turn to our mind and go, actually, I know Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. I know that Jesus came and did exactly what he said. I know he said he would be dead for 3 days and he was dead for 3 days. I know he said he'd rise again and he rose again. We know promise after promise after promise for Jesus and he fulfills every single one. Christians aren't called to be stupid people. Christians are called to be smart and use their minds to love God. Think about what Jesus has said. Think about what Jesus has done, and use your mind when your heart is overcome with doubt and you're feeling low and like you can't connect with God. Just remember in your mind what he's taught and what he's done, and the fact that every single word of the Bible is fulfilled in every single thing that he did. We need to love God with our mind when our heart is taken by doubt. We need to love God with our mind when our soul is taken by doubt. What happens if it's your mind that seems to be distracted from God, if it's your mind that seems to wander, and you just can't make sense of things? See, for me, the first thing I think when I think of loving God with my mind, I go, well, it just makes sense to me. I think it takes a whole lot more faith to think that the infinite universe came out of nothing than it does to think that all of the universe came from the universal creator. To me, it makes sense to love God with my mind and use the logic, but sometimes my mind fails me. Well, then what do we do when our mind seems distracted and unable to fixate on God and doubt takes our mind? We need to fix our hearts on God. See, Jesus then decides when he's walking with these two men to sit and have a meal with them. And then he paints a familiar scene as he breaks bread with them. Verse 31 and 32, their eyes were open and they recognized him. Jesus sat and recreated one of the moments in his ministry with them, and they saw him. He revealed himself to them, and then he disappeared from their sight. Can you imagine what they're thinking? They've still got the bread in the hand that he just passed to them. Sitting around a table, there was three. One of them passes bread and then disappears. What do they think and what do they say? They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us? They still had their bread in their hands when they recognized Jesus and he disappears. And they say, actually, there was something in my heart that jumped. Just like it used to jump when he preached. Just like it used to jump when he did miracles, when he taught things about my life, when he prophesied, when he did things that no one can explain. There was something about Jesus that just makes my heart leap. There's something deep in my heart that I know I've encountered him. We've encountered Jesus. We felt him do something in our heart. When our mind's taken with doubt, we need to cast our heart back to the time we go, I know that I've felt Jesus in my heart. I know that I've heard him teach and it's convicted me and it's moved me. I know that I've read about his miracles and known that there was witness, and I know in my heart that he's done something in my life. Every time we've been encouraged by God, we've been moved by God, we've been rebuked by God, we go, actually, I know in my heart what he has done for me. When our minds are taken, we can cast our heart to the time that God moved. For a whole lot of you people, that will be casting your heart to the time of the week just been, where you had certainty in your heart that God was working and that God was moving. If your mind gets filled with doubt, cast your heart and your soul to God. Love him constantly in your heart out of thankfulness and devotion because of what you felt him do in your life, what you've known him to do in your life. Let the memories well up inside you and go, actually, Jesus makes my heart leap. I remember that. Well, if your heart and mind are taken by doubt, Jesus then instructs us to love him with our soul. From here, the men rejoined the group, and Jesus then came to all of the disciples. He revealed himself to every single one of them. And we need to know that Jesus revealed himself not only to a small group of people, but to hundreds and hundreds of people. So there could be no doubt that he has been resurrected. And if you follow in verse 36, it says this. We're going to read a chunk of the scripture now. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, and you see that I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" He gave them a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you. While I was still with you, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the laws of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." He then opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. See, there was something restless in their soul. They saw Jesus in front of them, yet there was something still restless in their soul. They weren't sure. There was a joy and an excitement, but there was something restless in their soul. So Jesus reached out and said, "Touch me. See the holes in my hands. See the holes in my feet. See the fact that I can even eat right now. This is real, and I am here with you," Jesus says. And as he does that, he opens their minds that they might believe what they saw in the scriptures. In one of the messages of camp, we talked about John chapter 1, and that it says that we can have fellowship with Jesus. And John, as he wrote that letter, said, "We've seen and we've heard and we've touched and we witnessed." And we talked about at camp having an encounter with God just as real as the encounter John had as he walked with Jesus, as he lived with Jesus, as he saw him and he touched him. When we are overcome by doubt, we can cast our soul to a time where we felt his presence, where we've been able to feel like we could reach out and touch him, where we can go, "God, I know you are here. I know you are with me. You revealed yourself to me." By the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can have an encounter and a fellowship with Jesus just as powerful as the people who walked with him on the earth. Just as close, just as intimate, just as strong, and our souls can be secure in that. These people and thousands more saw Jesus and they felt the certainty in their souls. What do we do when doubt comes? What do we do if after this camp high, if after all the excitement and after all the joy, doubt seems to creep into our life, and God says that it will? Well, the greatest commandment is this: to love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart and all your soul. And in that full devotion and commitment to him, we can see that this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't just a story, that thousands of witnesses testify to this, that there is thousands of prophecies fulfilled in Jesus, that our hearts can be reassured, our minds can be certain, and our souls can feel and interact and encounter God. If we are taken by doubt, cast your heart, cast your mind, and cast your soul to the certainty that God gives us in Jesus. These are the words from the Bible that I'd like to have the last thing ringing in our ears as we wrap camp up. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins shall be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised," and that is his Holy Spirit. We need to hear now that we are witnesses to these things. We have received his Spirit because God has done a great work in us. And now we need to preach to every single nation because God wants to do a great work through us. This week we have encountered God, and we need to make sure every single day as we move forward, our heart, our mind, and our soul is fixed on him. This week we have encountered God. He has done a work in us, and now he wants to do a work through us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the work that you've done. Lord, I thank you that you have brought people to you, that you have saved lives. Lord, I thank you that we have seen salvation, that we have seen that you are real. We have seen that you work among us. Lord, we pray that our hearts would belong to you, that we know that we've encountered you deep within our hearts, that we know we've encountered you. Lord, we remember what it was like when you spoke to us, when you called us to you. Lord, we pray that you'd help us love you with our minds. Lord, with the logic of knowing that you are the creator God of the entire universe, knowing that you fulfilled every prophecy, that you predicted every single thing that would happen, then we saw it happen, Lord. And Lord, we pray that it would be well with our soul to love you. And that certainty, knowing that in our encounters with you, it is the same as if we'll be able to reach out and touch you because of the power of your Holy Spirit working in our soul. Lord, this week has been a blessing and we thank you for it. We pray over 2016, Lord, that as our ups and the downs come, our hearts, our minds, and our souls will be fixed on you, Lord, and you would not let them move. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have done in us, and now we pray that you would do a work through us. And all God's people said, Amen.